Welcome to Perek Shemona Asar, the 18th chapter of Hilchas Isura Biyah, Aleph. B'yishmul amadnu shazana amur batara, he called Shein Abbas Yisrael, by a tradition. The oral tradition teaches us that the definition of the zona, the prostitute that is forbidden for a Kohen, that is mentioned in the Torah, is anyone who isn't Jewish, or a Jewish woman who had intercourse with a man whom she is not allowed to marry, Isar Shav L'Kol, with a prohibition that would be forbidden to anyone. O Shenivla L'Cholo, Afishi Muteras Nasalo, or if she had intercourse with a Kohen who had been desecrated, even though she is allowed to marry him, but once she had intercourse with a man like that, she is desecrated too. She becomes a zona as well. Therefore, if a woman had an unnatural relationship with an animal, even though she's stoned, she does not become a prostitute by this act, and she's not disqualified from kahuna. Because she did not have intercourse with a disqualifying person. If someone had intercourse with a woman who was a nida, even though she gets kares, still she does not become a zona, and she's not disqualified from the kahuna, from marrying a kohen. She's not surely nosalo, because she's not forbidden to marry this man. Beis v'chinabala pnuya, if a man has intercourse with an unmarried woman, even if she's literally a prostitute who makes herself available for anyone, even though she gets flogged for this, zona, she doesn't become a zona, technically, in the terms that the halacha forbids it for a kohen. Flanifsla menakuna, she's not disqualified from a kahuna. Shereina sulinasalo, because she would not be forbidden to marry any of these people. Avlanivelas dachunisulavim, hashavim bakol, vim yuchodim bakahuna. However, if a woman has intercourse with a man who she may not have a relationship with because there's a prohibition, and a prohibition that applies to everyone equally, not only to a Kohen, or Mesur Asay, or even there's a positive commandment by virtue of which she wouldn't be allowed to marry this person. And so, Chlomer Lemishi Asur Lo Mishem Erva, goes without saying, if she had intercourse with a man who is forbidden because of Erva, a more serious sexual violation, or if she had intercourse with a non-Jew or a slave, Ol V'Asur Lo Linase, since she's forbidden to marry any of these people, Arezu Zona, in all of these cases, she would be considered a zona. Gimel v'chinegiyarasam shukhreras afinaz gaya v'shtakhra p'chusim v'bas shalashanam. Ho'il v'enabas Yisrael raises zona v'asur l'koin. A convert or a woman who was a freed slave, even if she was converted or freed when she was less than 3 years old, still, since she was born not Jewish, she is considered a zona and forbidden to a koin. Ikanamru, from here they said, gaya inasana mamzer, a non-Jew or a nusin, someone descended from the Givonim, or a mamzer, an illegitimate person, or a convert from the nation of Ammon, Moab, who are forbidden to intermarry with the Jews, or a first or second generation Egyptian or Edomite, who also are not supposed to marry into the Jewish people at that point, of Tzudaka Khrushchevka, somebody with damaged sexual organs who is not allowed to marry, or a man who is desecrated from the kahuna, Shabal Yehudis, any of these people who had intercourse with a Jewish woman, also zona v'nitzel l'kuna, they make her technically considered a prostitute, and she is disqualified from the kahuna. Ma'isukahenas p'slua min atruma, if she was the daughter of a kohen, she is disqualified from eating truma. Chanyivama shabal hazar, similarly a woman awaiting marriage, levirate marriage by her brother-in-law, who had intercourse with a other man, and she has a relationship that she's bound now with the brother-in-law, that he must either marry her or give her chalitza. So that she would also be a zona. Asa zona. V'ailanis mutesa koin vein a zona. An ailanis is a woman incapable of conceiving. There's something physically wrong with her. Yet she is permitted to a kohen, and she's not considered a zona. If someone has intercourse with one of the relatives that are forbidden by rabbinic law, kagon, if one has intercourse with a relative of the woman to whom he made chalitza, O al chalutzaso, or on the woman to whom he made chalitza, with whom he did the chalitza. La'asasazona, sherei einasul enasul min haTorah k'mishbarin bechasibum. She would not then become a zona because the prohibition is not a Torah law, as we've explained in the laws of Yibum. Hey, alamadat hashena yosazona tola bevila shaliser. We learn from here that her becoming a zona isn't dependent on whether there's a prohibition in the intercourse, because we have cases, for example, one who comes upon has intercourse with a nida or with a prostitute, but who isn't a relative, or a woman who has intercourse with an animal. All of these are prohibited types of intercourse, and yet she doesn't become a zona. Or somebody who married a chalal, a kohen disqualified, her intercourse was permitted. Moshe's bar, as will be explained. Still, when as a zona, she becomes a zona. It's how we define the blemish that takes place, as we have done until now. We learn from the oral tradition that what disqualifies her is a man who is forbidden to her, or a chalal, Moshamanu, as we've said. Vav kol nevelas adam shosas zona. If a woman had intercourse with a man who makes her a zona, bein baonis bein baratzon, whether by force or by will, bein bezadim bein bishkaga, whether on purpose or by mistake, bein kedarka bein shlo kedarka, whether in the normal place of intercourse or in the not normal, mishaharava, when he did the beginning of the intercourse, nifsalam shum zona, she becomes disqualified as a zona, vachitia bashalashon of yomecha, provided that she is at least 3 years in a day, and that the man who does the intercourse should be at least 9 years in a day, because under that it's not considered an intercourse. Therefore, a married woman who had intercourse with someone, whether it was by force or by will, is disqualified from kahuna.
Halacha Zayin. Eishes konshenensa bala loka la mishintuma. If the wife of a kohen was raped, her husband is not allowed to live with her. He gets flogged because she was defiled. Shneimer the pasuk says, "Lo yuchal bala rishon shashilcha loshuv lekach talias lo liisha achrei asher hu tamaa." That's talking about a man who divorces his wife and then is not allowed to remarry her. So the pasuk says, the first husband who sent her away cannot remarry her after she was defiled. But we say, "Akol baklal," that includes everyone, not only when she was divorced. Shemnivalu asurna balayim, if they had intercourse, even while they were married with another man, they're prohibited to their husbands. However, the pasuk makes an exception that the wife of an Israelite who was raped is permitted to her husband. As it says, that the prohibition is only if she was not forced. But the wife of a kohen remains in the prohibition. Because she is a zona, and as we've learned previously, a zona is someone who had a disqualifying sexual relationship, whether it was willingly or unwillingly, it still disqualifies her. Therefore, the prohibition of not living with your wife after she was defiled does apply to the kohen, whereas it does not apply to the Yisrael. Halacha ches. Eches Yisrael shenensa af bishumetes labayla sur lakahuna. If a wife of an Israelite was raped, even though she's permitted to her own husband, she is forbidden to marry a kohen afterwards. It is kohen shem levaila, the wife of a kohen who said to her husband, "Nenasti o shigakti v'olai echad," I was forced or I accidentally had intercourse with someone, "o shubai echad behed lo ala shazinsa bein ba'onis bein baratzon," or one witness came and testified that she had intercourse either by against her will or with her will. She is not forbidden to him. We don't believe her. Maybe she just wants to marry someone else and she's trying to force her husband to divorce her. If he believes her, or if he believes the witness, he depends on their words, then he must divorce her in order to avoid to avoid any question. The wife of a kohen said to her husband, "Anasti, I was raped." Up, bishumatas levaila. Even though she's permitted to her husband, as we've explained, however, she'd be prohibited to any other kohen in the world when her husband dies. She admitted that she committed adultery, or rather that she is a zona. It doesn't necessarily mean adultery, even if she was forced, but technically she's considered a zona. The asra atzma, therefore she made herself forbidden. Menasas kechaticha asura, she has declared herself to be forbidden, and to her husband we don't trust her, but to anyone else we would, and she could marry any other kohen subsequently. Halacha yud. Kohen shekiddush gedola oktana v'achas man bo'alaha, a kohen who betrothed, either an adult or a minor, afterwards he had intercourse with her, b'tan shematzah drus asish, and he claims that she was not a virgin. Nesol of misafik, she's forbidden to him because there's a question. Shemakodim kiddushin nivola o acha kiddushin. Perhaps it was, the intercourse took place before the betrothal, perhaps it took place afterwards. And should it have occurred afterwards, she'd be forbidden. So there's only one doubt. Of the Israel Shaton Tanazu, if an Israelite would have the same claim, the Nesrolov, she would not be forbidden to him. Shishkan Shneisek is because there are two reasons for doubt. Shemakodim kiddushin v'shem achidushin. First of all, maybe it was before the betrothal, maybe afterwards. If it was before, it would be permitted. Even if we should say that it was after the betrothal, there's another doubt. Maybe it was by force, maybe it was willingly. And if a woman was raped, she's permitted to an Israelite, as we've already explained. Therefore, if she was betrothed by her father to an Israelite when she was less than 3 years old, and he claims that she is no longer a virgin, then there is a question, and she is forbidden. Because there's only one doubt. Maybe it was willingly, maybe it was by force. There is no doubt that she had intercourse before her betrothal, because the principle is if she had intercourse before three, there would be no physical sign of it. It would grow back, and there would be no way of telling that she had the intercourse before 3 years old. And therefore, when there is a question of prohibition of Torah law, you have to be strict. Any woman who her husband suspected her of immoral behavior, and he warned her not to do it, and she was seen alone with a man who her husband warned her against, and she didn't drink the water of the sota, which is the way of testing whether she committed adultery or not, she would be forbidden to a kohen. It makes herself a zona because there's a question as to whether she is a zona. Whether it was she who refused to drink, or whether her husband did not want to give her to drink, or if there were witnesses, which there was one witness who said that she had intercourse, in which case she does not drink, or whether it was the Beis Din that warned her not to be seen with this person, or whether she was a woman who is unable to drink for the various reasons discussed in the laws of Sota. In any case, the fact that she didn't drink, in any case, so she remains forbidden to marry a Kohen or to be married to her to the Kohen because there is a doubt. If we see that an unmarried woman had intercourse with someone and he left, they said to her, who is this man who had intercourse with you? Rama, she said, Adam Kosher, he is a kosher person. Or he's in a manner she is believed. Even if they saw that she's pregnant, and they ask her, from who did you become pregnant? The Amran, she said, me Adam Kosher, from a kosher person, a kosher man. Or he's in a manner, she is believed that it was not a non-Jew or a close relative that would disqualify her, and she would subsequently be permitted to marry a Kohen. When does that apply? If when she had an intercourse, it was in a public area, like a crossroads or a corner of the field where a lot of people pass by. And most of the passers-by were kosher people, and most of the city were also, of people who were passing by there, were also kosher. The sages required two majorities, a majority of the passers-by as well as the majorities of the people in the city. If most of the passers-by would disqualify her, if most of the passers-by in that particular area are non-Jews or illegitimate people, mamzerim, even though the majority of the city from which they come are kosher, so there's one majority that would say that it's kosher. Or conversely, if most of the people of the place were disqualified. Even though most of the people who pass by there are kosher. In that case, we would be afraid that she had intercourse with the person who disqualifies her. And in the first place, she should not marry a Kohen. However, if she did get married, she does not have to leave the Kohen, since there is, in fact, a majority of people who are kosher. All of this applied if the intercourse took place outside of the city. Tesvav is Ra'ul Shenivla Ve'ir. If the intercourse was seen that she had in the city, on the Sabra Ve'ir, or she was pregnant in the city, even if there's only one disqualified person, one non-Jew, or one disqualified Kohen, or one slave, she may not get married in the first place to a Kohen. The principle is, in the set place, not someone who is separated from the rest of the people, but in the place where the people are set, no matter what the odds are, no matter what the proportion of kosher to non-kosher is, we always consider it half and half, 50-50, and therefore she would not be allowed to get married. Mrs. Losetzi, if she married a Kohen, she does not have to leave him. Since she claims that she had intercourse with a kosher person. And she was dumb or deaf and dumb, and she couldn't say, or she says, I don't know with whom I had intercourse. Or she was a minor who couldn't tell whether the person was kosher or not. So there's a question as to whether she is a zona. If she married a Kohen, she must leave him. Unless he had the two majorities of the rove in that situation that were kosher, as we mentioned previously. If a woman was captured as a prisoner by the Gentiles, and she was redeemed after age of three or more, she's forbidden to a Kohen because there's a question as to whether she's a Zona. Perhaps she had intercourse with a non-Jew. She has witnesses that she was not alone with a non-Jew. She's kosher to marry a Kohen. Even a slave or a maidservant or a relative is permitted to testify thus. Two women who were both captives, each one can testify on behalf of the other and be believed. Since the prohibition of all of these doubts is only a rabbinic law, therefore they were lenient in the case of the captive. If a child was speaking, not testifying, but just conversing in an ordinary way, and he mentioned that she was not alone with a non-Jew, he'd be believed. Once it happened that a woman was captured, rather a boy and his mother were captured, and the son said in a matter of a conversation, we were captured among the Gentiles, me and my mother. When I went out to get water, I always had my mother and my mother. When I went out to gather wood, my mind was always on my mother. And the sages allowed her to marry a Kohen by the words of the child. The husband is not believed to say that his wife who was a captive was not defiled. She never made lots, so a man cannot testify on his own behalf. Her own maidservant cannot testify for her. But the maidservant of her husband may testify for her. If her maidservant was just speaking in a manner of conversation, not testifying, then she would be believed. If a Kohen testified that a captive woman was pure, had not been defiled, he may not marry her, because perhaps he's testifying falsely, because he wants to marry her. If he redeemed her and testified for her, he may marry her. Because if he would have not known for sure that she was undefiled, he would have not given all of this money to redeem her. If a woman says, I was captured and I have not been defiled, she is believed. The mouth that forbade it, the woman who herself admitted that she had been captured, which we didn't know otherwise, that mouth itself says that she was not defiled. Even if there was one witness who testified that she had been captured. If there are two witnesses that she was captured, and in a manner that she would not be believed until one of them testifies for her that she is pure. If there are two witnesses that she was captured, one says that she was defiled, one denies it and says that she was just the opposite, that she was not ever alone with a non-Jew until she was redeemed. Even if the one who is testifying that she was undefiled is a woman or a maidservant or is a materius, she is believed. And she is permitted. The woman would be permitted to kahuna.
If a woman said, I was captured and I'm pure, and as we said before, the lawyer is the based in, allows her to get married.
And afterwards, two witnesses came that she was captured.
She may get married ipso facto, and she does not have to leave her state of permissibility, even though now there are witnesses. But since when she testified and when it was ruled, there were no witnesses, we believe her own testimony.
Even if the captor is with her, and she is in the hands of her captor still,
she would not go out of her heter that she was allowed by the court.
And from now on, from henceforth, we just have to keep an eye on her that she should not be defiled until we can redeem her.
If two witnesses come afterward and said that she has in fact been defiled,
even if she was married and had children, she must leave.
If one witness comes, that is nothing.
If she says, I was captured, I have not been defiled, and I have witnesses that I am pure.
We don't say, let's wait till the witnesses come.
We declare her permitted immediately.
Not only this, even if there's a rumor that there are witnesses that she was defiled,
we declare her permitted till those witnesses should come.
Because in the case of the captive, the sages were lenient.
The father says, I accepted betrothal for my daughter, and she was divorced, and she is still a minor. And then he is believed.
If he says he betrothed her and received her divorce as well when she was still a minor, but now she is an adult, and then he is not believed that she should be considered a divorcee, because we believe the father only vis-a-vis the minor child.
If he says she was captured and I redeemed her, whether she is
an adult or a minor, in an Ammon, he's not believed.
The Torah
does not allow give credibility to the testimony of the father except concerning marriage itself.
It says, I gave my daughter to this man.
He is not believed, just like any other person would not be believed. He is not believed to disqualify her by saying that she was a zona, by saying that she had been captured as a prisoner.
If the wife of a kohen is forbidden to him because she was captured,
since it is really a doubt,
she may live with him in the same courtyard,
provided that there are always his children and family there to watch him, to make sure that he does not engage in intercourse, which would be forbidden.
If his city was taken, was held in siege, and was captured,
if it was totally encompassed by the Gentiles from every direction, so that nobody, a woman, could not escape there without being seen and captured,
therefore all of the women in that city are disqualified to kahanim, like a shvuya, like a captive, because perhaps the non-Jews had intercourse with them.
Unless a girl was less than 3 years old, as we explained previously, that intercourse wouldn't be considered intercourse.
If it's possible even for one woman to escape, that they shouldn't know,
or if there's one hiding place in the city
that can hold even only one woman,
that saves all of the women there, because as we'll see, we can claim that she was the one who was saved.
As the Rambam continues in Chof Ches, Ketzet Matzelas, how does it save all of the women? Any woman who says, I am pure, would be believed. Even though she doesn't have any witnesses. Because she could have said, I escaped when the city was captured. Or I was in a hiding place and I was saved. Since she could have said that, so she doesn't have to, but she could have said that, she's also believed to say, I did not escape, I was not in hiding, but I wasn't defiled either. When are we afraid that there was intercourse by the captors of the women in the city in a group of soldiers that are of that country, that they're not afraid in that city once they capture it? Therefore, we're afraid that they had intercourse. If a band of soldiers from another country crosses the boundary and comes in and captures the city, the women are not forbidden. They don't have time to engage in intercourse. They're busy taking the spoils and they flee afterwards. If they captured women and took them into their possession, even though the Jews pursue them and save the women from their hands, they would be forbidden, because then we are afraid that they had intercourse with them. If a woman was captured by non-Jews over monetary things, they wanted money, and they captured her, and they want money for her, then we're not afraid that they had intercourse with her, because they might lose their ability to get money for her. I did a fascist. If it's where they threatened life, then it's forbidden to kahuna, because they might even kill her, so they wouldn't have any reason not to engage in intercourse with her. In such a case, if her husband was a kohen, she'd be forbidden to him. When does that apply? In the time that the power of the Jews is stronger than the nations, and the nations, the goyim who captured her, are afraid of the Jews. If the non-Jewish power is stronger, even if they captured her just in order to get money for ransom, once she's in the domain of the non-Jews, she's forbidden. Unless someone testified for her, just like the case of the captive. As we've explained.